Hello, and welcome to our program, which is the reading of the ARP magazine. And this is brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Kevin Altamirano, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the ARP magazine here on OWL Radio. We are going to continue with our featured article entitled Unnatural Causes. Authorities believe a psychopath murdered nearly two dozen older women in the Dallas area, largely at independent living facilities, starting in 2016. Despite mountains of evidence of suspicious deaths over 2 years, police, medical examiners, and the facility's staff initially wrote off the homicides as death by natural causes and failed to investigate. Was it because the victims were too old? And this is part three of that article. Norma French, 85, a proud alumni of the University of Texas, went away in September to visit her daughter, Ellen French House, in Indiana, but made a point to return home to tradition by Saturday, October 8th, 2016. There was no way she was missing a UT football game against their arch rival, the Oklahoma Sooners. She considered going in person, but ultimately decided to watch on TV. French House knew her mom probably wasn't happy with the outcome. Her beloved Longhorns lost a hard-fought game, 45-40. But even that didn't explain why French failed to answer her phone afterward. Her adult children requested a welfare check, and complex employees found her prone on the floor next to the TV. They summoned a paramedic, but it was already too late. French House was so upset that she insisted her siblings take and send to her photos of her mother's body. She immediately noticed her mother's wedding ring was missing. Her ring finger was red and swollen. The ring appeared to have been forcibly removed, French House thought. She and her siblings kept calling the Dallas Police Department until a detective was finally assigned to the case. Sanchez, who still worked for Tradition at press time, responded to questions from two Dallas police officers about the theft of French's jewelry. And he referred to the other recent unattended deaths, but if he had concerns about the unusually high number, he apparently did not share them with the investigators, who made no mention of that in their report. In her conversations with police, French House passed on a tip she'd gotten from Tradition employees, several of whom suggested to her that paramedics had taken the ring. The Dallas officers investigating the theft apparently bought that angle and launched an internal affairs investigation rather than a broader criminal probe. That theft case was still open a week later when Glenna Day, 87, was found dead in her fourth floor apartment at Tradition. Sanchez assured Day's daughter, Cheryl Kerr, that her mother must have fallen ill while painting and then climbed back into bed. God took her, he told Kerr. Kerr found it strange that her mother would rest atop her fancy $400 bedspread with her hands and smock still stained with paint. Quote, she never would have laid down on it like that to take a nap, said Kerr. It just wouldn't have happened. But like other victims' daughters, she was in shock. Her lively mother had gone dancing the night before she died, and she knew nothing about Tradition's crime wave. When Sanchez met with the detective investigating French's missing ring, he did not mention the odd circumstances of Day's death. Sanchez also did not mention that French was at least the third dead widow at Tradition within a few months whose wedding ring had gone missing. On October 27, 2016, Jeff Wells, one of the administrators at Tradition, met with the detective too. Under Tradition policies, managers participated in its internal reviews of all thefts and other incidences reported by residents, but Wells played down the crime wave. He offered scant information to police, and worse, repeated accusations against the firefighters and EMTs who had responded to the deaths. 2 days later, on October 29th, 92-year-old Doris Gleason was found dead at Tradition by her daughter, Shannon Dion, who immediately reported yet another large jewelry theft. Gleason was missing a necklace with a solid gold guardian angel handcrafted in Italy, an amulet identical to one Dion also always wore. For both women, the angels were treasured gifts from Dion's sister, who had died of cancer. Wells and others on staff who spoke to the Dallas police in 2016 did not mention that the complex was experiencing an unusual wave of sudden deaths, all involving widows who'd expired without even having time to call 911. Usually, Tradition Prestonwood mourned only three or four residents each year. In 2016, there were eight. In November 2016, a low-level staff member at Tradition called the Dallas Police Department to report an intruder who had been repeatedly spotted posing as a maintenance man. The man was gone by the time officers arrived. The description provided was general. Quote, suspicious person, prowler, black male, 5'10", 180 pounds, dressed in a clean suit, carrying a satchel, end quote. The officer wrote. The report further said that the suspect has been seen on numerous occasions and has stated he was there to check pipe leaks. Officers advised Tradition employees to tighten security and possibly go door to door. That did not happen. Residents were finally alerted about an intruder in December 2016 when Wells himself escorted someone, perhaps Chemirmir, off the property, according to information shared with residents. The complex also publicly congratulated Wells, posting a notice that read, with unintended irony, Jeff has been promoted to security specialist. The facility turned out to have only window dressing security. The few security cameras, for instance, were located near the entrance, not on residential levels, including the oddly deadly fourth floor. Further, the concierges who conducted checks weren't armed or trained to confront intruders. None were security guards. Instead of tracking down intruders, tightening security, and putting two and two together, eight deaths, all with thefts, all within a few months, with reports of a stranger lurking, Tradition officials and the detective investigating French's theft focused on emergency responders. The investigation of the wedding ring was closed in 2017 with no arrests. Wells was promoted again, taking an executive director role at Tradition Prestonwood, and later at another Tradition complex in Houston, according to his LinkedIn page. On March 19th, 2018, Harry Bartell, 91, got up around 6:30 a.m. to pray and read the Bible in her room as usual. She had just finished a regular morning phone call with her sister-in-law when a knock came on the door of her ground floor apartment. A stranger identifying himself as a maintenance man pushed the door open when she answered. She was hard of hearing and hadn't been able to understand him, but her eyes immediately fixed on the stranger's hands. I knew instantly when I saw those two green rubber gloves. Number one, I should not have opened the door. Number two, my life was in grave danger, she later told a prosecutor. The intruder told her to lie down on her bed. Then he picked up a pillow and smashed it down over her head and chest so intensely that Bartell blacked out. While she was unconscious, it turned out, the man rifled through her jewelry boxes, took gold crucifixes, and a distinctive gold locket with her dead husband's photo inside, and then removed her diamond rings. Bartell regularly attended morning aerobic classes, and friends found her door ajar when they arrived minutes later. The intruder was gone. They called 911 and began CPR. "We have a neighbor we cannot awake," one friend told the operator. Still, Bartel seemed to be breathing. Her pacemaker had kicked in. Bartel, a straight talker with a strong Catholic faith and thick Indiana accent, regained consciousness in the emergency room and told her sons, Rick and Tom Bartel, to summon the Plano police. But the first officer, skeptical, told her sons that Bartel's weird story about being suffocated by a guy wearing green gloves seemed more like an old lady's delusion than a real-life robbery. "She probably hit her head and became confused," he said to them. The brothers looked at each other incredulously. "That doesn't sound like Mom," said Tom Bartel. "She wouldn't imagine the loss of her wedding and engagement ring, or of the unusual ring with its parallel rows of diamonds that she'd worn on her right ring finger for 50 years. When she woke up in the hospital, all three rings were gone." The sons asked to see a Plano detective who took their mother seriously. He thought her story sounded a lot like the bizarre tale that 93-year-old Kay Lawson had shared in 2017 of being attacked and smothered by a robber posing as a maintenance man. Meanwhile, the police, upon receiving the tip about Shamir Mir loitering in the parking lot at Preston Place, ran his license plate, found an outstanding arrest warrant for public drunkenness, and finally mobilized. On the afternoon of March 20th, 2018, seven Plano officers in unmarked cars and trucks surrounded a silver sedan as it pulled into the parking lot of the apartment linked to the license plate. It was an unbelievably damning scene. Undercover officers watched and listened as Shamir Mir stopped near the entrance to toss into the complex's dumpster an ornate, oversized, reddish-orange jewelry box that fell with a heavy thunk. When officers moved in to arrest him, they found a dead woman's jewelry in his hands. Shamir Mir was arrested on the outstanding warrant, though the police planned to question him about the attempted murder of Mary Bartel. Then a quick search of that discarded jewelry box led them to immigration papers with the name Lou Thee Harris and a nearby North Dallas address. The house keys the Dallas police officers recovered from Shamir Mir's car fit the lock on the front door of Harris's home on Warm Breeze Lane. Inside, they discovered the 81-year-old widow's body. Shamir Mir agreed to speak with Plano and Dallas police, even after officials revealed they suspected him of serial jewelry theft and murder. In hours of recorded interrogations, he declared his innocence. He could not explain how he'd obtained distinctive jade and gold jewelry, private papers, or house keys that belonged to a murdered woman. Plano police also obtained a search warrant for his phone and found photos of the unique rings and gold crosses stolen from Mary Bartel. He'd posted them for sale online hours after she reported being attacked. After Collin and Dallas County officials held their unusual joint press conference to inform the public about the killing spree, Plano and Dallas police reviewed hundreds of neglected reports of unsolved robberies involving unattended deaths of older Texans and cross-referenced them with Shamir Mir's cell phone data, security camera footage, and jewelry sales records. Time and again, the information synced up. Though Bartel died in 2020, her riveting testimony was digitally preserved, and prosecutors also assembled literally hundreds of exhibits of actual and circumstantial evidence, such as Shamir Mir's cell phone pings to local towers, photographs of Bartel's rings and necklaces posted online, and Harris's jewelry and house keys. Today, Shamir Mir is serving two sentences of life without the possibility of parole for the murders of Lou T. Harris and Mary Brooks. At press time, he faced 20 additional capital murder charges, but Dallas District Attorney John Cruzo has said he will likely drop all other capital murder indictments against Shamir Mir in his jurisdiction. 9 capital murder charges and 2 charges of attempted murder stand in Collin County, where the district attorney remained undecided on whether to seek a death sentence. But is Shamir Mir the only one guilty here? What of the housing complexes and investigators who time and time again, whether consciously or unconsciously, ignored chilling evidence and declared the deaths, quote, natural, end quote? These crimes are horrifying, and the repeated failures of systems that should have been in place to protect the victims add to the tragedy, says Tina Tran, the ARP Texas State Director. A killer exploited a deep bias against the elderly, particularly women, in our society, which allowed a murderous spree to continue unquestioned and undetected. The callousness, particularly of the police and those who ran the facilities, should shake us to our core. A number of the victims' families have filed wrongful death suits against the facilities where their relatives lived. Attorney Trey Crawford represents 13 of those families. Quote, the owners and operators prioritized the profits of their private equity investors over the lives of the elderly residents they undertook to protect, end quote, he asserted in one suit. The current owners, Preston Place, was purchased by a private equity firm in 2018, have settled the suits and issued a statement acknowledging the long and difficult journey for the families and friends of the victims. They suggest that pending criminal indictments and Shamir Mir's guilty verdicts offer a welcome path toward finality and closure. Another apartment complex with 3 or more alleged attacks, Edgemere, also promptly settled wrongful death allegations with families. In a statement released after Shamir Mir's conviction for Harris's murder, Edgemere said that security is a primary focus and that they hope the trial will deliver a small measure of justice, comfort, and closure to all. The third, Tradition Prestonwood, home to 9 people prosecutors believe Shamir Mir killed, settled at least 2 lawsuits, and the families of other victims have been forced by the company into arbitration, where they are continuing to pursue claims of as much as $10 million each. In the filing to secure arbitration, Tradition argued that under the terms of their leases, the elderly residents were responsible for their own safety, and that Tradition had relied on the police and medical examiners to properly investigate the deaths. Tradition's parent company declined our request for interviews with CEO Jonathan Perlman or Jeff Wells, or to answer specific questions about the deaths. In a statement, the company said in part, quote, the deaths by an alleged serial killer in people's homes and at multiple senior living communities in the DFW Metroplex is a true tragedy. The Tradition Prestonwood regards all our residents as family, end quote. But for the victims' real families, the horror has continued unabated. Quote, you find out your mom's been murdered, then you find out it's a serial killer, and just every day the grief is overwhelming, end quote, says MJ Jennings, daughter of Leah Corkin. And to realize that this horrible psychopathic serial killer was the last thing my mom saw on this earth, I still can't believe it. Systematic change in Texas has been slow. The Plano and Dallas detectives who worked on the cases and their superiors declined to be interviewed, citing the pending murder cases. A Plano police spokesperson pointed out the department had updated its policy for treating unattended deaths, but those 2019 changes related only to the proper removal of a body, not to the investigation. A Dallas police spokesman, in an emailed statement, insisted that our goal is always to bring justice to victims, regardless of age. At the behest of the victims' families in this case, and largely through the work of the nonprofit advocacy group the families formed after the murders came to light, Secure Our Seniors Safety, SOSS, the Texas legislature passed a law that requires all medical examiners to inform next of kin whenever the cause of death is changed. After the daughter of one of Chimir Mir's alleged victims learned from another friend via a Facebook message that her mother's death was now being investigated as a murder, the push for further reforms from victims' families, SOSS, and other advocacy groups and politicians has only just begun. Meanwhile, Karen Harris, whose mother, Miriam Nelson, had tried to report an intruder before he returned to kill her, can't stop replaying the attack on her mother in her mind. As the list of likely murder victims has lengthened, her unease was replaced by a sense of outrage, shared with other victims' families, at what she considers the ageist biases of police and facilities that had been home to their murdered relatives. Quote, "It's very frustrating hearing all of this," says Harris, who helped form SOSS. "It seems like this story should have been on everyone's lips in Dallas. They're saying that this is the most prolific serial killer in Texas history. If these were toddlers or children or co-eds, do elderly lives not matter?" End quote. That is the end of the three-part story. This next article is entitled "The Joys of Recluttering. In Moderation, the Countertrend to Tidying Up Can Be Just as Satisfying," by John Vicara. It's been almost 10 years since Marie Kondo helped spark the ongoing surge toward more minimalistic lifestyles. And when I retired in 2017, I was ready to fall in line. At the time, I'd spent 30 years in my large three-story house, and it was crammed with enough stuff to fill a warehouse. The attic was overflowing with old Christmas decorations, toys long forgotten, and clothes I hadn't worn in years. The basement was littered with dozens of cans of dried out old paint, rusted tools from my grandfather, and spare parts to appliances I no longer owned. There were boxes of old linens, pots and pans, and kitchen utensils I'd inherited from my mom, and dozens of large cut glass bowls and serving pieces, along with more kitchen utensils I'd inherited from my aunt. In retrospect, I should have contested their wills, but not all the clutter was my doing. When I got divorced in 2002, after 18 years of marriage, my ex took very little from the house other than its equity. And when my daughter departed for college in 2011, never to return, she left behind just about every possession she'd ever acquired, including a giant play kitchen, a complete library of Nancy Drew mystery books, American Girl merchandise equal to a year's salary, and 11 giant bags of stuffed animals, whom we lovingly refer to as the boys. All told, it was an out-of-control family landfill, one I knew I couldn't just leave for my daughter to deal with, after it all collapsed on me one day and I perished under its weight. It was time to clean out my house once and for all. I got off to an excellent start. Old windows went into a neighbor's dumpster. I made multiple trips to the Salvation Army with boxes of books, ashtrays, knickknacks, coffee mugs, and clothes. I even made a few bucks selling some of the things on eBay. Other items, such as my mom's good dishes and my boyhood set of Lionel trains, tugged on my heartstrings and remained in the house, too difficult to part with. Still, after 2 days, my decluttering was well on its way. I could walk in my basement without first having to move some boxes to clear a path. There was actually free space on a few shelves in my attic. Surprisingly, I didn't miss my blue and white striped three-piece seersucker suit from 1976. Then it all went wrong. Remember I said I sold some things on eBay? Well, I also saw some things on eBay. Things I really liked and really wanted. A few bids, a few clicks, and I was the proud owner of one-of-a-kind wood carving with the body of a turkey but the head of Elvis Presley. Astoundingly, I was the only bidder. Then, for a mere $5, I snatched up a wax mold of a dinosaur from the 1964 World's Fair, identical to the one I'd bought at the fair and played with until its extinction. And there was no way I could pass up a folk art oil painting of an old whaling ship by an artist whose work I admire, an iron arrow with a great patina from an 1800s weather vane, and a small ceramic creamer depicting a nun. The milk flows out of the top of her head. I named her Sister Dairy Creamer. Classic. It didn't take me long to see the upside and the downside of purging. Yes, you suddenly enjoy space and feel freed of the old stuff's grip on you. But the thing is, the more you purge, the more room you have for great new stuff. Stuff that, in all likelihood, comes from the homes of other people who are purging their stuff. While my decluttering was still greatly outpacing my recluttering, I knew that could change quickly if I didn't establish some cluttering rules, which I'm pleased to share. Rule 1, limit purchases to what you can display and or use. Nothing goes in the attic or basement. Rule 2, don't buy anything on a whim. You should really love what you're considering or let it pass. Rule 3, run any questionable purchase by an outside counsel, in my case, my daughter. It's only fair that she gets a vote since technically I'm spending her inheritance. She's long accustomed to her father's eccentric buying habits, so her reaction to a potential new acquisition is usually a two-word text, "Oh no." It's her way of eye-rolling her approval. I love that she gets the silliness of it all, the absurdity. Recluttering has been a fun little experience that we can all share. I am happy to report that life in my big old house is good. The folk art painting and weather vane arrow look great hanging in my foyer. Sister Dairy Creamer was a hilarious hit with my daughter and her friends at a barbecue. And the appearance of Turkey Elvis has become a Thanksgiving family tradition. So, let Marie Kondo gush away about the life-changing magic of tidying up and decluttering. Today, I'm here to champion the art of recluttering and all the joy it sparks. Feeling chapped? Try this 1-2 punch for winter itch. In our 60s, many of us develop patches of dry skin worsened by wind and dry air, known as winter itch. To avoid it, number 1, humidify your home. Strive for 30 to 50% humidity. Opt for a humidifier. Buy easy care plants such as spider and green jade. Set heat-safe bowls or loaf tins of water on or near radiators and heating vents. Air dry your clothes indoors. Pro tip, keep all exhaust fans off to reap more humidity retention benefits. 2, moisturize your skin. Avoid harsh soaps. Choose bars like Dove, Olay, and Basis. Replenish moisture directly by applying creams such as Embryolisse Late Cream Concentrate or Elemis Pro Collagen Marine Cream for men. Pro tip, dial down the temp of hot showers, which can dry out your skin. You have been listening to the reading of the ARP magazine here on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Kevin Altamirano saying goodbye from Owl Radio.